Welcome to the T-Theory Observations for Sunday, July 25th. Today we're going to look at three charts. The first two in this section are the advanced decline oscillator, which we use for the accumulation pattern, and which is currently forecasting that there's a bottom and a turn to move up to presumably the August 26th longer-term top date. And the second one is the volume oscillator, which is used for constructing T's, and I drew in the longest T that you can get into that. And then the third chart is, it's taken me about 6 months to finally get the history of the advanced decline T's from 1966 to the present, all shifted over to a new language and a new database and so forth. And we'll start doing some interesting commentaries on that, relative to what's going to happen afterwards, and some of the new tutorials that I'll be generating from the data that can be derived from that sort of a chart. Okay, the first chart we'll be talking about is the accumulation low, and comments from people about how can you have an accumulation low when you're when you have a forecast of a bear market. Well, it turns out the market goes up and down inside the channels, and so if you want to know what's going to happen in the channels, you have to find a pattern of a basing pattern and get some concrete information as to how whether that's going to turn and move to the top of the channel, which is the red line. So you can see that the bottoms, as far as the bottoms are concerned, looking over the last 4 months, they're all on the green line, relatively close to the green line. Those patterns set up bottoms, and when you've been visiting the bottoms for a long time, the market generally is oversold enough, and the bearish news is so stale that everybody's acted upon it. So you're going to turn, and you have trouble getting through the mid channel point and getting up to there. But you should get up to the red line, and you see the red line is the red column. It's the third one from the right, says high envelope, and it's currently reading at 1160. And so if you ask the question, where do you think the market's going to go? The answer is it's going to the upper channel. However, that upper channel is actually falling a little bit, but it's not falling very fast. And now that you've made a little penetration around the black line, the channel will stop falling. Whether the channel falls or rises is really dependent on whether the market is above the black line or it's below the black line. So it's right sitting on the black line now. So that's all a mechanical. I would just simply point out that you have to remember, and some of these questions that I get don't make any sense to me, because it's known as far as envelope theory is concerned that the market, either in a bull market, it bottoms in the vicinity of the black line, it tops out at the top of the red line, in the upper channel, it tends to crawl along it. And when it flips over down into the February low, it touches the green line, then it finds its way up to the top of the channel. It falls down to the bottom channel. It sticks because you're in a bearish T, but now it has to go back to the top of the channel. The whole theory of envelopes is that there's only three stable points on that chart. So there's only three levels you have to know, and they are the three columns, mid-channel, high level, and the low level. And the market just hops between those two, and it could stay up for a while, or it can stay down for a while. But after it's finished, the overbought condition or the oversold condition has become tired, it tends to drop all the way across to the other channel. In this case, the bottom is the accumulation pattern, and the upper side top signal would probably come from a arms ratio that's over 5 days is got very low numbers in it, typically averaging like 0.70 or something like that, which we haven't seen yet. So, but as far as the forecast is concerned, it's just generated off those numbers. So, if you want to ask the question, what is it going to run into resistance at the mid channel? The answer is no. It's just because it should be now making its run with the rising bottoms pattern and descending bottoms pattern on the S&P 500 as a divergence. That's the T-theory accumulation low. You should go to the red line above. And the answer is that there's probably enough short covering built into this market to be able to take it up there anyway. It's just that they'll be skeptical, and then when you get there, you're going to be overbought again, and then you're going to start going into a top pattern. And I would say that the odds do not favor that you're going to take out the old high, And there's no significance in the fact that the advanced decline line is going to make a new high. You can see that's in the green one. As I said last week, it's a typical case where what you're doing is you're slow motion, you're breaking out. See, so last Sunday you couldn't break out above the peak in the June low. Now you've broken above that. That pretty much means that the S&P 500 is going to break above the of the mid channel black line, a black dotted line. But it doesn't really mean that the S&P is going to go up to the well, I guess it must be around over 1190, which would be the peak in April. It's just that it's going to try to get to the top of the channel. So the objectives are pretty much set by the channels, and they're all numbered in the tables there. And you just have to find out what is the device that is going to cause it to flip from bottoming along the bottom or worse, and then finally turn around. In bearish tees, there isn't anything you can say about bearish tees except that they like to fool around a lot. And so, you know, another question I had was when we were going down to the making the oversold condition, people wanted to know why you abandoned the tee. Well, we don't abandon it. It's just there's no money there. So all it is a bunch of traps. Once you get the accumulation pattern, then it's ready to go to the end date. What's happened is that the T, which is not shown here, but it's shown in the next plot, the cash buildup does get some money, and you get some extra money while you're going down on the bottoms pattern. But the buying power will not come in until you reach till you go into the end point of the T, and that's a long ways away. While you, in fact, I tell you right away, if you get to a very oversold condition, the channel's going down, you can see the rising bottoms pattern. You can see the turn coming. It's just there's no money in it. So a lot of people, they say, "Oh, I can see the rising bottoms pattern," but they don't know that there's no money there. It went all it's going to show up later on because people are in a selling mood, and it takes a time for them to turn around and figure it out. Whether the channel estimate of which is basically the 1060 level, and then that changes a little bit, is basically the right way to give the estimate. You don't have to worry about the break of the, you know, is it going to clear the 1120 level, or you know, whatever resistance levels. It's just going to go to the top of the channel, and it should be there. That the official date is August 26, because that's the date that comes from the double bottom symmetry of T13 we'll see later on. But if we move on to the second chart, I have there is an alternate way to do that, and it sort of depends on how things want to play out. You can see now we switch to the volume oscillator, which has it's a double oscillator. It's a difference between two oscillators, and so you're really measuring acceleration. And it becomes very confusing to interpret it, because the acceleration is somewhat foreign to people. Usually they think of price level, then they think of velocity, which is the slope of the S&P 500 or the particular trend you're looking at. And when you get into acceleration, you get a lot of this up and down motion. You can't figure out whether you're going up or you're going down, unless you can remember what the second derivative, how to get from the second derivative back to the first derivative and then back to the price level. So it's difficult to get a feel for that. But the probable high is at the red envelope, and you can leave that. Now, as far as in the previous charts, which you can see going back in the archives, the old cash buildup phase was taken as a steep decline, and I had the shortest T construction, which is the most conservative one. In this one, what I've done is I placed the center post of the T in the last bottom before you convincingly broke the green cash buildup line, which is called the old cash BU, which is buildup in here, and that's the longest you can justify that T. And if you take that T and you run it out, it runs a little past August 26, but that's the longest. Sometimes you're going to find out that you can draw the longest and you can draw the shortest, and the middle one is about the best, is probably the best estimate. And the best estimate is the best estimate for this top is still given by price, the probable high at the red envelope, not by time. Okay, but you want to know what the window is, because you've got to wait for that price to come by. And when the price comes by, if the arms the probable high starts to show up, and then the arms ratio starts to go into one of these series of low numbers, you're going to get a sell warning on it. And that means that some place in the not too distant future this thing is going to top out. You might want to then take a look at the longest T construction, because that's the one where you're going to see if you can get as close to that before you sell, if you think that the market's really doing well. The market's not doing very well, you wouldn't wait for that, because if you lose momentum up here, you're going to that's pretty much all a T can do, and so you're pretty much on your. But that's a surprise as far as the earnings are concerned. Now, what's happened is, and the earnings is that you got Microsoft, and you got the thing about Microsoft's earnings was they came out with spectacular earnings, and nobody bought it. They sold it off the next day, and they're coming back. So you don't know how that's going to turn out. We still have some bigger entities coming with other companies that will be coming out, and they could have some good upside stuff too. But there's no reason to try to cut this thing off. It's all straightforward. Everything is straightforward, unless you're in the Elliott Wave business, where you know they're always looking for, if you break this support level, you have to get an alternate account or something like that, and they take it little bit by little bit by little bit. The longest T construction can get you as far as you want to go, and the probable high is still at the red envelope price level, because it turns out that the simplest way to look at the market is by envelopes, and there's sufficient energy in this market to be able to make it up there. The exact time it won't matter, and there's no sense in trying to make a big deal out of what is a very messy pattern in here, because you can find cycles in there, and you can find other little things to look at, but it doesn't really help you alternate it, because the envelope theory has picked up all the energy in the system, and it knows that it's likely to be basically what you're going to be able to do is run two standard deviations away from the variance. And that's what the probable high level is, and it's 1160 now, and it'll probably work out that way after everybody jiggles back and forth on earnings and so forth. You have to remember that most of the people in the stock market aren't chartists; they're looking at the fundamentals and the news, and what the Federal Reserve might do and other things So they're just buying and selling the stocks, and it'll tend to come out about right in that sign. So that ends this. This particular segment, and then we're going to go over and look at my long-range advanced decline T chart next.